301 for the Y301 Transportation Alternatives Fund is about 2.9 million that will be allocated from fiscal year 2023 to fiscal year 2027. So the MPO recently conducted a call for projects throughout September, in which we were accepting applications. So organizations and jurisdictions throughout the core MPO area could apply for these funds. We received 5 applications and we deemed all of them eligible. And we gave a presentation for the TCC, and they reviewed the compiled scores, discussion, and any actions regarding the Y301 grant awards. And they approved each of the projects and the scores and the way the funding would break down for each of the projects. And that's the end of the status update.
Okay. Thank you, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to actually look at that next meeting to vote on it.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question. Is it required to have to be voted on by the next meeting?
We'll have to vote on the next meeting because we don't have enough people to vote on it today.
Well, I know. I just wanted to know, is the next meeting the drop dead date for it to be voted on?
Oh.
No, actually, what we're asking for with this committee is just to endorse. We're letting you know. This actually will go in front of our board, the core MPO board, on November 2nd. They're the ones that will actually vote to approve, deny, change, or whatever. But we do want your input. So we ask for endorsement from all of the other committees.
The endorsement requires a vote?
Yes, on any action item, yes.
All right.
And therefore, then what we do is we take what your input is to our board. If, let's just say, we had an item and nobody agreed with it and did not want to support it, that would be brought to the board.
So our failure to vote does not mean because we don't have a quorum up until the time it's required, the board can proceed to approve it or disapprove it.
Yes.
Okay.
All righty. That satisfies you, Mr. Talbot?
Us.
Okay. And we'll move on to the next item, which we will do the same. We will just be hearing the information. We'll have to vote to endorse or not next meeting. And that is the Y230 fund call for projects. Who'll present that?
Hi, Jasmine here. Do you all hear me?
Yes.
Right. And can you see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
The Y230 call for projects was conducted in August and September. This is a federal program through the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program. We had received 13 applications by the deadline. We deemed 12 of them eligible. One of them were ineligible due to the amount of funding that was requested. The TCC has now reviewed these applications and rankings as well. This is the schedule here that we followed, and here's just a list of the applications that were received along with the requesting amount that you can view here. You can also see the ones that were considered eligible versus ineligible, and these will go before the core MPO board for consideration of adoption. Any questions?
Hearing no questions, we'll just move on because this is something we'll have to vote to endorse next meeting as well. We'll be moving into the status report, the 2050 MTP update, please.
I'll be giving that presentation. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, perfect. Today, I'll just be giving an extremely brief presentation on the Moving Forward Together 2050 plan. And this plan is a long-term multimodal plan that details the region's transportation investment priorities, links it with regional land use and economic conditions, and transportation efficiency that results in a financially constrained list of projects. So this is basically our long-term plan that lays out how we want to invest in our transportation system in the future over the next 25 years until the year 2050. So we really wanted to speak about the public outreach portion of this project. And so we've currently had a survey going. So as of today, the survey has received 376 responses and it's been live since September 1st. The survey is also available in four languages, and that is English, Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. And the survey covers multiple topics, including roadways, bicycling, pedestrians, public transportation, equity, and resilience. And we just wanted to go over some of the preliminary survey results. The survey has not closed, but we just wanted to go over a few of the results that we found interesting. So on the screen are the zip codes that responded the most to the survey. In first place is the zip code 31405. Second place is 31401. Third place is 31419 and 31407. In terms of who is taking the survey, the vast majority of people who have taken the survey drive their own personal vehicle. And the majority of people racially who have taken the survey are white. Additionally, it tends to be middle-aged people that are taking the survey, and the household income, the respondents usually have a household income of $100,000 or more when taking the survey. So from looking at these responses, we definitely want to increase representation among all groups of people and age groups and income levels. And Waikota actually recently gave a presentation at a high school that really increased the number of young people that have taken the survey. And we definitely want to increase representation among all groups. So that is something that we are working on doing as the survey continues. The soft deadline for the survey is October 31st, but we're extending it into November to give more people a chance to take the survey and give their input. In general, respondents want to maintain and repair our roadways, infrastructure, and facilities. So among the roadway priorities, maintaining our current roadway system and infrastructure was the most important among respondents. Additionally, there is significant interest in local rail service and public transportation. And we found this result interesting because the majority of people who have taken the survey drive their own personal vehicle. However, there's still heavy interest in a rail service and public transportation. Most respondents want bike lanes that are protected by a barrier and greenways that support multiple modes of non-motorized transportation. And we found this result interesting because the majority of the bikeways within the core MPO area do not have a barrier. So that just lets us know how we should construct bikeways in the future. Additionally, 67% of respondents prioritize this resilience-related objective, and it is to increase green and nature-based infrastructure and transportation projects to reduce flooding and heat stress and improve the health of the environment. Additionally, 74% of respondents prioritize this equity objective, which is to identify and target high-need population areas where transit investment should be prioritized. And the interesting fact about this specific objective is that it was the most popular one among all of the answer choices on the entire survey. This is the one that most people agreed on. And I'm just showing a slide that shows our survey and our website and where to access the survey in different languages. And then also some of what we've posted on social media. So we do have a Facebook, Instagram page. Sorry, not Facebook. we do have an Instagram page where you can access information on the Metropolitan Transportation Plan just to increase outreach among people. And additionally, we will be doing more public outreach events. I will be giving a virtual presentation to LIFE at the end of October, in addition to other public outreach events that we will be hosting. Oh, we do have a Facebook. So we have an Instagram and a Facebook. Never mind. Forget what I said earlier. So on the slide, we have our Facebook and Instagram handle. Our Instagram handle is Coastal Region NPO, and our Facebook is Core NPO. And I believe that's the end of the presentation. Did I miss anything, Sally?
No, that was good.
Okay, perfect. All right, that's the end of the presentation. Are there any questions?
This is Pam. You know, my situation is a little different. Is where the survey at? Is this where you go to the mpc.org core and then this MTP 2050? Is that where I would go in order to do the survey?
Yes. So you would go to this website, and then on this website is a link that takes you to the survey.
Okay.
Asia, can you scroll down? Is our QR code on here?
Oh, there's also a QR code. Yes. So if you have your phone, you can scan the QR code and it'll take you directly to the survey.
My phone won't do that. I told you, I'm a little different.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine.
I got it. I'll get someone to do this for me.
Okay, perfect.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. No other questions. We'll move along. Looking for the core MPO regional freight transportation plan. Who's that?
Asia, can you present that on Wycota's behalf?
Yes. I think believe this is. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, perfect. So the Core MPO is also going through a freight transportation plan update. And so throughout the year, we've been essentially updating our freight transportation plan with the help of Cambridge Systematics, which is our consultant agency that has been really doing a great job with updating this plan. So we've held several meetings throughout the year, starting on April 29th. And we also most recently had one this month. Additionally, we have a dedicated website where you can learn more about the freight transportation plan update. And then also we have a couple of surveys running as well so that you can give your input onto into freight transportation in the area. And so some examples of input that people might give is if a train that crosses a road is a problem and causes a lot of traffic, and maybe there needs to be some type of bridge so the train can go over the bridge. So that's just one of the examples. Or maybe a lot of freight trucks go through your neighborhood. So that's something that you could identify on the surveys for the freight transportation plan. Additionally, the consultant team gave a really great presentation, which is attached to this agenda, and you can review it on some of the deliverables. And essentially, they're expecting to complete this transportation plan update in July of 2023. Again, if you want more information, it is attached to this agenda. And I highly recommend going through the presentation that Cambridge Systematics put together because it is extremely informative. Any questions?
Hearing none, we'll move to the next. Item, which is the urban flooding model study.
Jasmine here again, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, and can you see my screen?
Yes.
The urban flooding model study, I believe as mentioned in previous meetings, was kicked off this year. The selected consultant was the University of Georgia. The notice to proceed on this project was issued in June 21st of 2022. On last week at the TCC meeting, the UGA team introduced themselves to the steering committee, as well as provided a project overview and some of like the outcomes that is expected of this project. They also have submitted their project management plan as one of the deliverables for this project. And we have also selected the stakeholders and steering committee where we finalize that for this project as well. We're also in the process of working on a web page that will be featured on the core MPO site where you can see some of the updates for this study as well as the presentation that was provided. That's all I have to share with you all today. Any questions?
If no one has questions, then we'll move along. Non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan, the status update.
I'll be giving that presentation. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I'll begin the status update. So the core MPO is also updating the non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan. And these are our plans that deal with bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So the plan update steering committee met on September 15th via Zoom. And during the meeting, committee members identified several roads and areas that should be added to the non-motorized transportation plan. These roads and areas include Middle Ground Road, roads around some of the local schools, Abercorn Street, Montgomery Crossroads, Cottonvale Road, and Dutchtown Road, just to name a few. In the future, staff will continue to compile a list of problem and opportunity areas to add to the plan, and also use data such as pedestrian and bike data on NewMetric, population data from the American Community Survey, and infrastructure data from GIS to create a comprehensive assessment of the non-motorized infrastructure environment. Additionally, once a larger list of projects and problem areas is curated, staff will seek public input to better prioritize the projects. And again, this project is projected to be adopted in June of next year, so June 2023. And that's the end of the status update. Are there any questions?
No one has any questions. All right. Thank you, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll move on to SR 26 US 80 project status report update.
Ms. Oglesby, this is Sally. So the representative, the Kimley Horn, as well as the city of Pooler, which would be Leon Davenport, the project sponsor, project manager, are not on. Attached is a progress report of the status update. This is a State Route 26, which was the US 80 corridor study that the city of Pooler is managing that they currently have going on. So this is literally just for information only. If anybody wanted to look at the attachment, you will see the project status update. That's all that's there. So there's nothing really to present.
That's fine. Thank you so much, Sally.
Yes, ma'am.
And we'll move on then. Discretionary PL funds application. Does anyone have something on that, Sally?
Yes, ma'am. Asia, can you go ahead and speak on this, please?
Yes. Let me just share my screen really quickly. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes, you're good.
Okay, so core MPO staff submitted applications for the Federal Discretionary Highway Planning or discretionary PL funds on behalf of our member agencies for the following studies in August of 2022. We submitted the City of Savannah update on I-16/MLK ramp removal project, Chatham County US 17 State Route 25 Okeechee Road Corridor Study, and Chatham County President Street Railroad Crossing Feasibility Study. So all three of the applications were denied. And so our next steps essentially is, so Chatham County has applied for Y230 funds for the State Route 25 Corridor Study and the President Street at Truman Parkway Railroad Crossing Grade Separation Study. The Core MPO TCC members are evaluating the studies with other applications. The TCC recommends recommendations for funding awards, and the Core MPO Board's final decisions will be made at the October and November 2022 meetings. The City of Savannah is applying for the Reconnecting Communities Pilot Program funds for the update to the I-16 MLK ramp removal project, and Core MPO has provided a letter of support. The deadline for the application is October 13th, 2022, and funding awards will be announced at a later date.
All right. Anybody have any questions?
Yes, this is Neil Ligon from LIFE. Well, I'm just here observing, but you said that the deadline for applications was the 13th of this month. So at this point, they know all what all the applications will be?
Yes, the deadline has already passed.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. With that, let's move on to did we have any agency reports? Anybody have anything from any agency?
We have the agency reports under notices down here. So CAT will be, Ms. Baker will present, you know, for CAT at that
Correct.
Time. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Then what about this CAT's micro transit project? We can just let that run down with
No, ma'am, we actually have Ashley Goodrich from CAT who's online to present that.
Excellent. We'll hear from CAT micro transit project.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can everybody hear me?
Yes. Okay. Do you need your screen shared, Ashley?
Yes. Let me pull up the slides. All right. Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Goodrich with Chatham Area Transit, and we are presenting today for...
Ashley, we're not seeing your screen.
You're not seeing my screen?
No, you need to share it.
Okay, give me... Sorry. Let's see.
There we go. Now you're up.
There we go. How does that look?
There we go. That's perfect. There you go.
Okay. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Chatham Area Transit is starting a comprehensive planning process over the next 12 months that is going to be known as Chatham Connects. And it is a part of our master transit plan and implementation strategies. This comprehensive planning process that we speak of that CAT will be undertaking will be looking at new divisional modes of transit services within Savannah and Chatham County and our current services as well as future services, as well as long-term financial outlooks. Today's presentation is to discuss what a new type of transit service may look like in the future. And as we present microtransit first mile, last mile implementation to you today, we'd like to gain any comment you may have or questions. What is microtransit? Microtransit is a smaller transit service provided where normal CAT bus may or may not be useful or available. Microtransit can be designed as same-day service as a demand response with similarities to CAT mobility. CAT mobility, our ADA paratransit service, is a next day or future schedule curb-to-curb service. Microtransit is very similar in that it would be same-day service with a smaller transit vehicle, where typically a large transit bus does not necessarily fit or has not that great of ridership. Part of speaking about microtransit is to describe microtransit as mobility on demand. Mobility on demand, how that works
is that you may request by phone or mobile app. You would have same day dynamic routing, a rider pickup with a shared ride transportation service, and a rider drop off. There are challenges to mobility on demand with microtransit, and advantages and disadvantages of the service include reliance on included new technologies. However, there are also better options in dynamic, flexible transit scheduling. This flexibility is key to scale up or down to match demand. In the example from our presentation, you should be able to see our system map for fixed route services. The blue on the map is the distance of 1/4 mile away from each CAT bus route or bus stop. First mile, last mile connections allow customers to book an end-to-end transit trip if the fixed route bus is not within walking distance. Microtransit can be designed to provide new coverage to neighborhoods. So from the picture that you see in front of you, these gaps that are not highlighted in blue are at minimum more than 1/4 mile away from the nearest existing CAT bus stop. So in order for someone to get out of their neighborhood and travel to Waters, or to get out of their neighborhood and travel to Middle Ground or Abercorn, that distance is considered even much greater than the 1/4 mile on the map that we're measuring. First mile to last mile connectivity can be helpful in areas that are inefficient for fixed route service. Microtransit as a TNC, CAT staff has been researching a variety of different options for microtransit, such as, does microtransit have a route? Does it operate in a zone? Can it cross jurisdiction boundaries? Does Chatham Area Transit have to drive or operate this service? Or could this service be contracted out to another company? Shorter walks to services or destinations is helpful and with microtransit for neighborhood densities that need transit service, that need mobility options, but may not be the right design for a traditional large transportation bus. And just to talk about what a TNC stands for, a TNC is a transportation network company, such as Uber or Lyft. CAT's methodology for microtransit and first mile, last mile implementation is to look at flexible service alternatives during periods of low demand, such as off-peak time of day. On-demand service hours that cover off-peak periods, such as weekends, evenings, or late night, could enhance coverage at a lower cost per trip compared to our fixed route bus mode. We are looking at whether the microtransit would be available at designated stops along CAT bus routes, so that if you were to be picked up from your home or from your school or work, then you would be taken to the nearest bus stop if that route is not within close vicinity. All trips with microtransit must take place within a specific service zone from start to end. As a connection service, this goal would be to connect riders to higher frequency corridor services. So getting back to whether or not you have a destination at the end or a destination at the beginning, and when we look at coverage for our transit system, how can we provide better connectivity by having a new mode such as microtransit connect you to our already existing transit services? Chatham Area Transit will continue to research microtransit throughout the year as part of the master transit plan and implementation strategies. And to conclude today's presentation, we are interested in any and all comment or questions about first mile, last mile implementation. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions?
I do, Pam. Ashley, this is Neil Ligon from Life. First of all, I really appreciate your attentiveness to our questions. You've already gotten answers to all the questions that we proposed, and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate the opportunity to meet you the other day at the kickoff event. My question is, do you guys primarily see this as a supplement to the existing fixed route, meaning getting people from their house to a more frequent route bus stop, or do you envision more of a within the whatever that little area is that the on-demand service would work, a direct from home to the particular site?
So right now we're looking at it as a complement to our coverage and mile zone. And this is because as a fixed route service, there's still quite a bit of our special tax district throughout Savannah and Chatham County that we may not be providing traditional bus service. As we were working on this program, it's come up from a technology side that this type of service is still very similar to our complementary ADA paratransit and CAT mobility. So internally, how do you convert a similar mode type of service into the same day rapid response and flexible scheduling that is somewhat required? We don't want to discontinue any of our current services. And we fully expect even some of our temporary items that you may have heard about in the news lately, we expect to have those back by spring. I would like to see them sooner. But we do know through our data and analytics and our transit system is a very old system. We have several existing routes and areas and neighborhoods that we want to better serve our communities, and we know that we have more demand than what CAT can supply.
Thank you.
Anyone else with any questions? I'm glad to hear about this, Ashley, simply because I'm a member of SCOTY. And our chairman, Wayne Dawson, has been asking about an on-demand program that was in place. It kind of went away, and we talked with Valerie Ragland and Sean Brandon from the city. So this seems like this might be the thing that can be put back in place to bring that back in some form. So thank you so very much. Moving on, we don't have anything from public participation, do we?
No, ma'am, we do not.
Okay, then in all of the notices, I did see, Ms. Helm, where the next meeting date on my agenda was omitted. So I did want to mention to everyone, our next meeting is going to be on December 12th. Keep in mind, it is earlier in the month than our regular meeting schedule. It's always been this way. I'm assuming we kind of move away from the holiday time. So our next regular scheduled meeting will be December 12th. So keep that in mind that you realize we're going to be meeting earlier in the month. I know that everybody has access to information from GDOT, Chatham County, the city of Savannah, Savannah International Airport, LATS, and TIP. Is Ms. Baker on the line to give us something from CAT?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here, Ms. Oglesby. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi.
All right.
Just a few updates for the paratransit division. We are still experiencing shortage of staff. We have approximately 20 operators, and we normally have 42. So this is still causing a big issue as far as getting our riders to where they need to be in a timely manner and to pick everyone up that's requesting a trip. So basically that is our major issue, is the staffing issue for operators. We are prepared to, they are preparing to purchase new vehicles for the paratransit, so that's still on hold as well. It'll probably be another year before we get new vehicles. That pretty much concludes the update for paratransit.
Okay. Anyone have any questions of Ms. Baker? If not, then I'm going to assume we can move on, and we will actually be to adjournment unless somebody else has something. All right. Ms. Helm,
yes,
need you to call me. I need you to call me after this meeting and give me the number to call in for the Wednesday meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. With that, I guess we'll say thank you to all of you. I really appreciate those of you that have come. I hope and pray for the next meeting, all of you will come back and we will figure out how to get some more people so that we'll have a quorum and can vote on the endorsement of the other things that we have. Other than that, I guess I'll say goodbye and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone.